When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, we're 2 weeks into January. Just finished up the MLK Day slate. Probably the second biggest day of NBA of the season. You have Christmas Day, which everybody always pays attention to, but then Martin Luther King Day, not only just to celebrate a legacy of an amazing man, but with this action of NBA basketball throughout the day from noon all the way down to 10:30 p.m. Just games everywhere. I think there were like 13 games that were on the slate. Pretty good ones too. And then you had Tuesday night, which was literally two games. You had the Wolves winning 112-110 at MSG, and then you had the Warriors beating the holy hell out of the Detroit Pistons. But now we're back here on a Wednesday. It's keeping it 94. Spencer Davies, Brian Fritz. Another episode brought to you courtesy of the BasketballNews.com podcast network. And I got to say, before we start this, if you got completely covered by snow, I feel your pain. I woke up on Tuesday, and it was just everywhere. Everywhere. Monday, maybe. Maybe that was Monday. I can't remember. Can't remember which day it was. But literally, Brian, I'm not even kidding you, 15 to 16 inches. It was up to my knees. The shovel was back in the shed. So I'm house sitting for my parents. The shovel was back in the shed. I didn't know where to start because you lift the garage up and I'm literally standing next to this mound of snow that is, again, up to my knees. I didn't know where the hell to start.
I think you start by turning around and going back in the house and saying, I'm not going anywhere today.
That is how it goes, but you had to make some moves. So here you go. And this, remember, so at my place, I have maintenance taken care of for me. I pay HOA fees, but I had to help my parents out. They were stranded because their flight had gotten canceled and all that. They went on a little vacation. So I'm there with my two little brothers, both teenagers. So you can imagine how I felt. And if they're listening, I love you boys, but a man can only take so much. So I'm stuck in there with two teens. One's not doing any work. The other one is helping me in the driveway, thankfully. I appreciate the neighbors that helped us out. Let us use their snowblower. That definitely expedited the process a little bit, but about two and a half hours. So that was Monday morning. Monday morning, right before all the festivities and the celebration of Dr. King over the NBA slate there. So I just wanted to shout out, you know, this winter storm that completely took over the Midwest here in Northeast Ohio. You gave me one hell of a time.
See, I'm in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, and we've got, I want to say on Sunday, we got maybe an inch or two, but what we did get was some sleet and some slick roads, especially like on Monday. Like, you had to be careful if you're driving out there because there were definitely patches of ice and there were a fair amount of wrecks on the roads, especially on the highways. In fact, near my work for my day job, there was a patch of ice and you could see people slipping and sliding all over the place on that. Luckily, I think there was one pretty big accident there, but everything else wasn't people like hitting each other. It was just hitting this little patch and just kind of fishtailing across it. But that was as bad as we got here. And we're supposed to get some more coming up later on in the week, but nothing like what you're getting. Like, we're talking maybe a couple of inches. Now, if you go over to western part of North Carolina, they're getting, you know, like 6, 8, 10 inches, or they did a couple of days
ago.
But I'm not getting that snow like you're getting, where I got to break out the shovel and get the snowblower and all that stuff. We're just getting a fair amount here, just a little smattering.
And you go rushing out there to try and get the job done, and you know you're slipping and sliding all over the place, just walking, not even just talking about cars, just walking. You're just slipping and sliding all over the place. I just started laughing, and it was funny because, I mean, I've used a snowblower, but I don't really know how to judge which way the snow is going to blow out. And the wind was swirling, so I didn't know which way to put it. So the first, two or three trips up and down half of the driveway, it just blew right back in my face. I've got a great picture if anybody wants to see. It's actually quite funny because I don't look too amused in the picture, which makes it even funnier. But we're not here to talk about snow. We're here to talk about NBA basketball. And I think Brian wants to get something off his chest.
It's not your chest thing. It's something that has to be discussed because it's one of the biggest stories in the NBA right now.
It is. So we'll let Brian get to that. We'll also talk about the trades that are brewing, the rumors, I should say. On January 15th, there were about 15 players that became eligible to be traded. These are the players that signed their extensions over the season. And we'll name those and talk about some of the rumors swirling around a few of those names. Obviously, there were some injuries that we hate to see. KD going down with his MCL injury with the knee. You had Damian Lillard, who probably won't play at all this year. Draymond Green had a setback. Paul George doesn't sound like he's coming back. But we also had some returns, though. We had CJ McCollum come back. Bam Adebayo's back for the Heat. So, lots of movement going on now and fewer hardship exception players that are playing now that, we're hopefully on the back end of, the COVID cases and, the protocols and whatnot. It seems like teams are getting healthier and we're starting to, get right back into it. We're still, if you look at the standings, we're still all kinds of bunched up, especially in the East, where first and 11th are separated by, I believe, 3.5 games, which is just purely insane. So we'll get into that. But first, we'll give Brian a soliloquy, a little floor to talk about his Lakers. The news came out earlier this week about Frank Vogel supposedly almost being fired after they lost to the Nuggets in dramatic fashion. They responded with a win against the Jazz, but obviously, this is just a game-by-game thing, as reported by The Athletic. So why don't you dig into that, and then we'll kind of get into the crux of the issue.
Yeah, because, right now, and we kind of knew this going into the season, that if anything went wrong with their season, if it wasn't going to go the way that they had hoped, that they already had their fall guys set up, and that being Coach Frank Vogel, who... when Vogel came onto the Lakers, remember, he wasn't their first choice, their second choice. He was their third choice. And he only got a 3-year contract, but he won a championship. And quite honestly, in the second year, last season, he dealt with some major injuries. Obviously, LeBron James had the high ankle sprain that cost him a lot of time. Anthony Davis missed a lot of time. And they had to just kind of get their way into the playoffs. But when they were getting healthy, and even though LeBron wasn't at full strength, he was back, AD was back, and they were giving the Suns all kinds of trouble. It looked like they were going to beat the Suns in the first round before Anthony Davis got hurt. And this was even after the Lakers, early in the season, had made some roster changes off their championship team. And you look at what they did even then, and I think that's where some of the problems really began, because we all know that Vogel is a defensive-minded coach. And that team he had that first year, they came together, especially in the bubble. People talked about they weren't the greatest shooting team, but they played to Vogel's strengths. It was the defensive-minded team. And when they came back the following season, you know, they made some moves around the edges, but it really affected the team during the year. Like Danny Green got traded for Dennis Schroeder. You understood that when Green was going into the final year of his deal and, you know, they wanted more ball handling. So I get that, but they totally went away from their bigs. You know, they let JaVale McGee leave. They let Dwight Howard leave, you know, and then they went with Marc Gasol and Montrezl Harrell. By the end of the season, none of that was working. And, you know, but they still kind of fought their way through it. And you felt like if AD and LeBron were as healthy as they could be, they could still make a run. And who knows what would have happened, you know, if AG had not gotten hurt in the playoffs. But then they come to this season. You're wondering what kind of moves they're going to make. And they decide to make the big move, that being Russell Westbrook. And the problem isn't just the way that Russ has fit with his team. It's what they had to give up. And what they had to give up was the strength of this team in that they gave up their best perimeter defenders. And you look at the way this season has gone, and there's plenty of excuses between the roster makeup, guys not playing together because of injuries with, you know, Anthony Davis has missed a lot of time. Players have missed time because of COVID. Talen Horton Tucker was expected to be a big part of this team, and he missed the first, month and a half. Kendrick Nunn was supposed to be a big part of this team. He's still not back, and he's even had a setback. So, I mean, there's all these different things that have gone into it. Then on top of that, you have Russell Westbrook as well, and the way that he is fit or not fit with this team, as many people have expected. And now they're a 500 team, and they are not playing well. I mean, they're all over the place. You know, they get blown out by the Nuggets. They almost fire Vogel, and then they come back two nights later and they beat the Jazz in what might be their best win of the season so far. It's a very spirited game for them.
Probably is. Good for Stanley Johnson, by the way. I love that, you know, comeback story. I mean, they're obviously looking to sign him through the rest of the season, but he's still playing on these 10 days. But if there is a bright spot to look at, it is one of those kind of just reviving his career a little.
Right. And the Lakers, you know, have had to kind of pare down when it comes to what their rotation is going to be. You know, you've got LeBron playing, you know, small ball center these days. You know, Kent Bazemore's out of the rotation. DeAndre Jordan out of the rotation. Wayne Ellington out of the rotation. They're just waiting for Anthony Davis to come back. They, you know, even, you know, when they played their best in that game, Russell Westbrook was not in the lineup. It was a lineup of like LeBron James, Avery Bradley, Stanley Reeves. Johnson, Austin Reeves, Talen Horton Tucker was in the game. So they went young and they went, you know, with guys that can kind of mix and match, you know, on defense, and they were able to kind of get their way to a win. But, you know, Vogel was still kind of like on edge. I mean, there's some people that say like, now that this story has kind of come out that like, they're not going to do anything. It is weak though, to put the blame on Vogel. Is there some blame on his behalf for this? Yeah, of course there is, because he's the head coach. But I don't think he is the sole person to blame, and I would not fire him. People want to point to him and say, well, look at like his rotations. Look at his lineups. He has played around with a lot of things, but I think he has been forced to play around with a lot of things because of the roster makeup. So I would say this. If the Lakers are insisting on getting rid of Frank Vogel during the season, that to me means there needs to be other moves in the front office. That means Rob Pelinka would have to go as well, because he's the one that put this team together. Now, LeBron deserves blame. Anthony Davis deserves blame, because LeBron went out and recruited Russ, and AD signed off on it. And then the front office said, yeah, let's do it. And they made it happen. That's a problem. You know, you're not going to fire LeBron. You're not going to fire Anthony Davis. You need to have your people in the front office be the ones that say, we're going to do it or we're not going to do it, and they need to be held accountable for it. I think that Vogel has had to play around with lineups just because of the injuries and just trying to find something that can work. And what has worked is going away from having a bigger lineup. But that's something that has worked for them in past years. But now he's having to play away from that. I will also say this and a couple other things when it comes to Vogel. If you decide to get rid of him during the season, what are you going to do? Are you going to go with Fizdale, who has had to coach 6 games a season in place of Frank Vogel while he was out with COVID? And he went 1-5 in those six games. That's not exactly inspiring hope. The other thing when it comes to behind the scenes is Kurt Rambis's role in all of this, because, you know, the story came out from The Athletic and from the LA Times as well, that like Rambis is sitting in on these meetings now and he's telling them like, oh, you got to go big. You got to go with Dwight Howard and DeAndre Jordan in the lineups and these things. And I'm like,
Kurt Rambis.
What year is this? Exactly. I'm like,
Happening again?
Yes, it is. It is absolutely crazy that Kurt Rambis has this much power within the Lakers organization. And it's because he's tight with Jeannie Buss. Like, Rambis's wife, Linda is Jeannie Buss's closest confidant. She has been for years. And because of that, they have a lot of trust in Kurt as well. Now, Kurt Rambis, never been a good coach. Look up his record. It's horrible, horrible from the time he was with the T-Wolves and, you know, with the Knicks and, you know, interim, you know, coaching spots here and there. It's horrible. Like, why is he having so much, you know, say when it comes to like lineups or different things like that? And, you know, and he,
influence and, all that influence
and influence when it comes to roster and things like that. Like, hey, I mean, one of my biggest bones of contention this entire year, and same with a lot of other Laker fans or even people that aren't Laker fans looking from the outside in going, okay, if you're on a fixed budget for the Lakers, why did you insist on spending that $10 million a year on the potential of a Talen Horton-Tucker rather than a proven guy in Alex Caruso, who doesn't put up big numbers, but he's everything that you want when it comes to intangibles and a guy that doesn't need the ball and plays defense and just fits with everybody else? It's already been proven for the last couple of years, but nope, they let Caruso walk and they paid THT. And I'm going to tell you right now, from everything that I've heard about that, that was a Rambis decision. That Kurt Rambis did not value Alex Caruso. He was one of the lead guys that said, nope, I'm not worried about Caruso, which is really laughable for me, because anybody that watched, you know, Kurt Rambis in his playing days, that's exactly what Alex Caruso does now. I mean, come on. He does all the intangibles and all the hard work and defense and things like that. So remember a couple of years ago, Spence, when there was that story about the dysfunction of the Lakers organization, and this surrounded like Magic Johnson leaving the front office, and, you know, everybody was taking their shots at the Lakers, and rightfully so, because they're a full-blown mess. But winning cures a lot of things, obviously. When you have LeBron James and you have Anthony Davis, you could turn things around very quickly, you know? And that's exactly what happened. People seem to forget about all that dysfunction behind the scenes because they won a championship. But now all you hear once again, things, you know, tail off, is the dysfunction behind the scenes. And that's what's going on. It's a total dysfunctional organization right now.
What losing does too.
Yes. And if they were not the Lakers, you know, the gold standard franchise in the NBA and being located in Los Angeles, if they did not have those things going for them, they would be an utter train wreck in that they could not even attract stars. The only reason they attract stars is because of what's up on the marquee and where they're located. Yeah, they would be the Sacramento Kings without it. So this is an absolute mess. And Anthony Davis is about to return. There's talk that he could return sometime within the next week. He's been cleared for full contact. That is not a cure-all. There is no trade that the Lakers can make this season that is a cure-all, even if they can do something by, you know, packaging like THT and Kendrick Dunn, because the way their contracts are right now, they've got three guys on max deals and almost everybody else is on minimums.
And Kendrick Dunn, by the way, has only played one preseason game. He's been sidelined all year with injury. And just as he was about to come back, there was a setback in his ramp up.
Right.
So probably not going to see Kendrick Dunn in a Laker uniform unless they make it past the trade deadline.
Yeah. And remember, like, some people are pointing to like, oh, well, you know, I know the Lakers had to get Russ, they had to sacrifice a lot of things, but, you know, when it comes to defense, like Kendrick Nunn and Trevor Ariza, that will help him a lot. Like, Trevor Ariza is 36 years old, and we knew he was not going to be any good, and he missed a big chunk of the season. And then since he's come back, he hasn't done squat. He just can't. I mean, he hasn't been a good player in 3 or 4 years. He's gotten old. And like you said, you know, Nunn hasn't played yet. He's not a cure-all. He's not going to fix everything. The team is a mess. And, you know, they play better down the stretch in tight games without Westbrook on the court. But there comes a point where you have to put him on the court because he's Russell Westbrook. And if you can find a trade for him this season that makes any kind of sense, please tell me. Because I don't think the Houston Rockets are sitting there going, you know what? Russ, come on back, man. We're happy to have you. You know, John Wall, we'll ship you out. Like, I'm not even sure if the Lakers would do that deal either, but like, I can't imagine Houston doing that. I mean, they would want something more. And it's not like they would play Russ. And if they're not buying out John Wall, I don't know if they're buying out Russell Westbrook. So, I mean, there are no easy answers. It's just this team is an absolute mess. And it starts, to me, with the front office. And I think it is weak to put all of the blame on Frank Vogel and to make him a scapegoat, because he is only doing the best he can with the roster that you've given him. And people talk about like, oh, well, he's lost the locker room. Like, what are you talking about? He's lost the locker room. I'm like, this thing is a mess. It's not his fault. I mean, how they only gave him that 1 year extension, that told you right there that they didn't have any confidence in this guy. He's won a championship for you.
And not to single out LeBron, but anywhere he goes, this is what happens. This is what happens.
You know what the only difference was, though? In the past years, they did have a roster and contracts that they could move and make, you know, major changes during the season, because this has happened in Cleveland. I mean, you know this very well. Like, they made massive changes before a trade deadline. They just can't do it this year. And otherwise, if they thought they really could trade Russ, would they pull the trigger? Like, if he wasn't making this outrageous sum of money, or if he was seemed as more valuable around the league, then I can see them hitting eject, even though it would make LeBron have to say, like, this is a mistake. And I don't know if he wants to admit that.
Yeah, no, and that's a tough admittance, because, I mean, he had a lot to do with him coming. So that's, you know,
absolutely,
that's just kind
he
of
did.
Laying your pride out on the line, but you also have to look at the results and how the play styles don't mesh in the half court at the very least. In the half court, it does not work, especially when Russ is pulling and, you know, hitting sides of backboards and corner three pull-ups, whatever, you know, he's doing and thinking of doing. Even being a spot-up guy, like, anytime they use him in that way, it's just not conducive to success.
Can you imagine being Frank Vogel and knowing that you got Russell Westbrook, a guy that can still put up numbers, but not necessarily a winning player, and he's a Hall of Fame player, and telling him, okay, this is a, you know, a tie game midway through the fourth quarter, Russ, you're on the bench. We have a better chance of winning this game with you on the bench. That's tough.
It is tough, and it's a tough sell to Russ, but I think he would understand it.
I think he would, too. I mean, wasn't it a tell-all the other day when Sam Amick had an interview with Russ, and they asked him, like, how's the season been going for you, you know, since being with the Lakers and returning to your home in Los Angeles? And he goes, well, I'm happy I get to spend a lot of time with my family. Mm-hmm. But you're not talking about the team.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think that tells you a lot. And I think Russ would understand it if they did move him, but I don't see a feasible way for them to move him. I mean, the only way they could is that they had assets that could attach to this. And they don't. And that's the other thing. Like, the Lakers don't have any draft capital coming up in the near future. I mean,
and you'd have to use a third team, but what's the third team's incentive to do that?
There is none. I mean,
to help facilitate like that, there's no incentive there.
They got to get draft picks.
So it's difficult.
It's extremely difficult. And, like, you know, if the hypothetical was out there with the Rockets for John Wall, the smart move would be to do it if you were the Lakers.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would do it, because so many people would have to swallow their pride about it. And I don't know what they would have to do. Say the Rockets were even open to it. What would LA have to give them? I mean, the next first round pick they have right now is in 2027.
You'd have to do a lot more.
Probably. I mean, I've heard this one floated.
Well,
maybe. Well, I mean, by then, I mean, the money.
Because John hasn't been playing, so that doesn't exactly help his value.
It doesn't. And they both have 2 years left at, you know, basically the same amount of money.
You know how ironic it would be for Russ to get traded for Wall again?
It'd be ridiculous.
It'd be the second time. It would be the second time.
You know, there's been some talk like, you know, Eric Gordon could be had with the Lakers, want to make a deal for him. And quite honestly, they could. I mean, they could do a THT, Kendrick Nunn, maybe throw another guy in there, you know, for him. I'm not sure what kind of draft capital would have to be involved. Like, would that take like that first? Would it take a couple of seconds? I don't know. But could you even roll that into a bigger trade that involved Wall and Westbrook? You know, I mean, we're just playing games, you know, and throwing around, you know, the freaking, you know, trades and rumors and seeing what kind of sticks to the wall or whatever, what we can imagine. But I mean, the Lakers are in just a bad, bad situation. And the thing is, like, you've only got so much time left with LeBron.
Yeah.
I mean, he's putting up incredible numbers again this year. You are on, I mean, you're, how many more years of this are you going to get? This might be the last one. Maybe it's next year. Maybe it's the year after that.
It certainly feels like your version of the 2017-18 season. Yes. Even though LeBron, by the way, bar none, the most impressive playoff run I've ever seen, even though the Cavs lost to the Warriors that year.
Yeah.
That was his best performance. But
see, I bring the whole problems back to the front office, not just before this season, but before the last season. Because I get it from a standpoint that, like, you, even when you win a championship, you don't want to be complacent. I'm a big believer in bringing it back, kind of a thing. They had a formula, and they knew what that formula was. Like, okay, we're not going to be able to shoot like Golden State or some other teams, but man, we play hard, aggressive defense that starts on the perimeter, feed guys inside, and we're going to swallow them up with our bigs.
And then that was the next question I was going to have for you, because you look over at what KCP's doing for the Wizards on their defensive end. You're looking at what Kyle Kuzma's doing. He's not even having not that great of a year as a shooter, and that's fine. But he's absolutely been hungry on the glass, second chance opportunities, you know, taking away chances from, you know, the other team as far as crashing the boards goes. Averaging, you know, 23 over his last 13 games and 11 boards. Like, that was the kind of stuff that I feel like Lakers fans didn't really appreciate. Look, on the outside looking in, of how important Kuzma was playing the, you know, the quote unquote dirty work role. But he's averaging damn near 36 minutes a game since the December 23rd. You know, the Wizards have found a little groove again. They've won 4 out of 5. You know, so Kuzma's part of that deal. KCP, who's shooting near 40% since the new year from three, is part of that deal. And he's been excellent perimeter defender for them. And I know he didn't play much for L.A., but, you know, even Montrezl Harrell, since he's come back these last 4 games, has looked really solid. So, you know, those are the things you use. Those are the players you use to go acquire Russell Westbrook in the 3-for-1. Did you give up too many core pieces, namely KCP and Kyle Kuzma, to get one Russell Westbrook like that? Was it necessary to do that? I know that the main focus was to get a point guard to help take the load off of LeBron over the summer, which, you know, technically they did, but did they give up too much in the process? Because obviously it hurt their defense and it, you know, kind of changed things up a little and had to elevate THT into a bigger role that maybe he wasn't ready for yet. And, you know, you look at the things that shifted up and the players that had to cover those kind of bases. Was it too much?
It was absolutely too much. And they should have known this. Like I said, if you go back to the year prior, remember that team struggled, not just because of the injuries. Okay. Now things were working really, really well until LeBron James went down. I think the Lakers were 23-5 and LeBron got the high ankle sprain. And then Anthony Davis got hurt. So you could say, like, okay, well, the moves were working. I wasn't a big fan of them because I just liked the way that team worked. And they didn't spend a lot of money. They spent minimum money on their bigs, spent their money elsewhere, you know, because they had JaVale McGee, they had Dwight Howard. That worked out great. They could go smaller with Anthony Davis in the middle. I understood the trade for Schroeder for Danny Green. I totally understood that one. And, you know, Schroeder maybe come to find out wasn't the best fit. But that one, I could totally understand. I didn't understand the other moves that they made. And then once again, we've got another offseason where we got, okay, we got to fix the problems that we got here. And this is not the way to fix it because you have your formula. You know what the formula is to win with this team because you've already won a championship with them. And once again, they deviated from that. And just, I know that even if LeBron's sitting going, hey man, I can make this work and this is why, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you can listen to your star player all you want, okay? But you've got to know better that there are so many issues and with that trade, you know, from not only the fit of Russ, other moves you can make, how this is going to hurt your team, and also what it's going to do for potential future deals because you're giving up a 3-for-1 and contracts and all that. It was a total mess. And you know, going back to your point about, do the Laker fans really appreciate KCP and Kuzma? I think they did. I mean, I know I did. I think there's a lot of other Laker fans that did. I understood why they wanted to trade Kuzma because he plays the same position basically as LeBron. And I think he was getting a little bit frustrated, not with LeBron, but just like, where's my fit? It was tough for him. It might have been time for him to go, okay? Just from that standpoint. Harrell, there were problems behind the scenes with him, you know, with the Lakers. So I totally understood why he was gone. There was no reason why KCP should have been traded unless there was going to be an upgrade. Like, I never understood trading both KCP and Kuzma. To me, you kept one of them. To me, you kept Caruso. That was a no-brainer to me. And instead, they did not value him. In fact, they lowballed him and let him walk. I believe the first offer they made him was like 2 years for $10 million. It was something totally ludicrous. So, I mean, they just totally went away from their model and thought like, oh, we're the Lakers. We can just get guys, you know, on the market for the minimum and it will fill in. And it's like, no, it's not going to work like that. It's just not.
Right. Right. And that, I'm glad you answered that for me because I don't know. I still think that, yes, you know, Kuzma wanted to get us so he would have been part of the deal. And, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. I'm not going to,
we can all sit here and say, oh, why did they make the deal for Buddy Hield? Or why didn't they make the deal for DeRozan? I mean, right. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, especially the DeRozan one. But I think there was a lot of people that sit there and go, wait, they're trading for Russell Westbrook and they think this is going to work considering this is a defensive minded team headed by a defensive minded coach. I'm like, I never understood. I thought they would have been better off just keeping the roster and going, I know, Kuz, it's not the best fit for you, but you've gotten so much better defensively. And, you know, we're going to work at this for you. KCP, you're a perfect fit here. Caruso, you're a perfect fit here, especially next to LeBron. And by the way, the whole thing about LeBron and the ball handling, like, oh, can't let him handle the ball as much. He's LeBron freaking James. I mean, he's going to handle the ball. It's so ridiculous.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Well, I think we got our Laker talk out of the way.
Do you think Vogel is going to survive the season?
No, I don't.
I don't either. And the Lakers, I believe.
Is it right? I don't know.
No,
but I don't think he will.
It's horrible to scapegoat him like that. It's not fair at all. And I, looking at the Lakers are home against the Pacers tonight on Wednesday night. Then they hit the road for 6 games. And it's a tough road swing. I mean, they're in Orlando the first night, but then it's Miami, Brooklyn, Philly, Charlotte, Atlanta. And that could go really bad really quickly. And if they say they go 1-5, maybe even 2-4, and there's some ugly losses on that trip where they're not playing hard. Magic Johnson's on Twitter calling them out, going, this team, man, they got no heart. I could see them making a move, and it's dumb. Like I said before, if you're gonna make a move, if you're gonna trade the coach, have some accountability, and they should change that front office. Kurt Rambis should not have a say in that front office. And Rob Pelinka has royally screwed up the last 2 years when it comes to some of the moves that he's made as well.
Yeah, I would happen to agree with that. All right, before we get into trades, that time, Brian, that time I think I'm 0-9 now. It's not going well, but
I missed out last weekend too.
Our player props. We'll do our player props. app.prizepicks.com. Remember, guys, you use the promo code NEWS. You get an instant deposit matched up to 100%, up to $100. So go to prizepicks.com. Make your picks. I've already got ours settled in here. I'll throw mine in now and I'll let you know what I'm doing.
I'm going to look real quick because like I almost won over the weekend in a football one because I thought I had it made because like I had Deebo Samuel over on the rushing. It was 26 and a half. He rushed for 72. I thought that was a gimme. Mahomes over 270 passing. Had that. But then I had to go with Najee Harris and the over in rushing, and he didn't even come close. And
It's always the third leg, Brian.
I know. Well, get this too. So last week we did our basketball picks, right?
Yep.
And I've got KCP on the over. Man, it was over 10 and a half. He had 10 points in the first quarter, I think. I was like, I got this done, right? Kevon Looney, I had over 5.5 points. Had to sweat that one out a little bit. He got the 6, though. So I was like, I'm cool. The other one was DeRozan, and they were playing the Pistons. And he had like 20 points going into the third quarter. I was like, oh, man, maybe I got this already. But then they were up by 30, and they took the foot off, you know, the gas, and they took DeMar out, and like he stalled at 20 points. Actually, I think he had like 16 going into the third quarter, and he just needed 23.5, and he only got 20. They took him out. They screwed me over.
I can't even remember mine.
I've got it right here. I got it right here. You had Jared Vanderbilt over 6.5 points. He's got 8.
He hit that in like the first half too. I was like, all right, good start.
You had Kyle Anderson over 2.5 assists. He got 2. And the other one that you felt really good about was Devontae Graham over 13.5 points. He only got 11.
Those little numbers, those will always get you. Those little numbers, those tiny little things. Okay.
So this week,
we're going to get a W this week.
By the way, right now, too, we noticed something with our friends at Prize Picks. So not only can you do the categories for points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, with three-pointers made, free throws made, they're combining stuff now. So you can do a combo, points, rebounds, assists, combo blocks, and steals.
See, this is exactly what I needed. This is what I needed, a little kind of a new setting here. So that's what I'm going to go with for one of them. I think I went with two of them, actually.
You did. So here are your picks. You have Lauri Markkanen over 12.5 points against
Revenge game at the United Center. I must say that one is my pick because Lowry's actually been heating up a little bit from distance. I feel like everyone's going to be on Darius Garland because he's the reigning defending Eastern Conference player of the week. I actually do think that Jared Allen's going to have a big game too, but I like Lauri Markkanen in this spot. He knows the floor. He knows those rims and, he's been shooting the ball a little bit better lately, a little lower usage, but, he's been on the floor defensively well, knocking down about 45% of his threes over his last 5 games, averaging 14 points right around that mark. So that's why I'm picking, the finisher in Chicago.
You have Bam Adebayo over 28.5 combined points, rebounds, and assists.
Yes. And who are they playing? I think that was why I picked
Portland.
They're playing Portland. Portland gets up and down the floor. Obviously, they are not great at scoring the ball or defending at this moment. So that's me on Bam there. And I think, you know, having a more size against that team, obviously, they have Jusic Nurkic, but I like Bam there, and it's, you know, second game back. I think combined he had 25 or 26 points, rebounds, assists in his return after missing all that time. So I like him to ride the wave here. And, you know, no Larry Nance Jr. for the Blazers on Wednesday night as well. So that's another big thing for me because Larry's a hustler. They don't have the hustler out there. I think Bam can definitely get a lot of rebounds at the very least.
And then your third pick, 00, Onyeka Okongwu of the Hawks. You have over 2.5 blocks and steals.
I think that's a gimme just on the blocks, man. He's been playing really well as of late. Nekias Duncan did an excellent breakdown of Mr. Okongwu after the Hawks' improbable win over the Bucks. They ended up coming back from double digits down to beat Milwaukee. And a big part of that was Onyeka Okongwu's minutes. He did an excellent job against Giannis, really using his length. He hasn't had all that much playing time at the beginning of the season, but here it's been ramping up a little bit. And he got a second career best 36 minutes. He's played 37 at the Clippers earlier this season, but that was pretty much garbage time minutes.
Yeah.
Against Milwaukee, they were legitimate minutes. Ended up with 12.7 boards, and he had 3 blocks and a steal. So it seems this guy's getting a steal and a block every game. So why can't he get multiple in one of those categories? So that's why I go with 00 in this situation tonight.
So I went a little simpler, and I stuck with just all points. Okay, so I have Jimmy Butler over 19.5. The news is out that Tyler Hero not playing as he entered safety and protocols, plus Kyle Lowry is out of this game for personal reasons.
We like Jimmy and Bam tonight, folks. Yep. We like Jimmy and Bam tonight.
Yeah. And by the way, I made that pick before I knew Lowry was out. I knew about Hero, but I didn't know
now
about
Lowry.
Now
watch Max Strus go strap for 30.
Oh, oh man. So I have Gordon Hayward over 15.5 against the Celtics. A little revenge game there. And he's been scoring a little bit over that. And I have Darius Garland over 18.5 points against the Bulls tonight.
How funny.
And he's been scoring a little bit more. Now he's been in the 20s the last couple of games, so I like DG.
His point totals, I'll say his point totals definitely go up when they're closer games because he has the ball in his hands down the stretch.
Right.
He is absolutely their leader and all of that, pulling up and setting guys up, but he has been taking more field goals, but that is because a lot of these games have been closer and he's been required to make the big time shots. Whereas in some of those blowouts, he might not have as great of numbers because he's not needed as much in those situations, but he's really finding a stride. And what a trip again for Cleveland, by the way. 4 out of 5 on the West Coast trip. What'd I tell you? They'd go 3-2 or 4-1 on that trip a few weeks ago before they left for it. And against the West, they have just obliterated the Western Conference this year, which is, somewhat surprising to me. 12-9 against the West for a team, where we thought they would be this season. I wouldn't see it coming. So that, I think, big time. The Junkyard Dogs, as I've written in the past, 15-9 on the road, by the way. They're really on a solid, solid roll right now, and it's been fun to watch. So DG, good pick for you. We'll see if this game's close tonight because we obviously know about the Bulls' injuries. Zach LaVine goes down, unfortunately, with a knee injury in that big game against the Warriors last week. And I think they are also missing another key piece. Lonzo Ball. Yeah, they're missing Lonzo Ball as well.
Yeah.
We'll see if that one's close or not. But big game in the Central Division, by the way. 1.5 game separates Cleveland and Chicago, who is at the top of the East and at the top of the Central Division. So this could be a big one right away. So we'll see at 8 o'clock Eastern time on Wednesday evening.
You mentioned some of the injuries that have gone on, and it's a little crazy right now with big name injuries. And there's a lot of question marks about when guys are going to come back. So like Damian Lillard, you mentioned surgery for the abdominal injury. He's going to be out at least 6 to 8 weeks, but there's a lot of rumors that he might not be back this season. And with the Blazers struggling, I don't think they're in a hurry to bring him back. Paul George has been dealing with an elbow injury for the past month, and he just came out and said they're going to wait a few more weeks before they update his status. I really wonder if PG is going to be back this year. If he needs surgery, he definitely won't. And by the way, if he has surgery, it basically would be like Tommy John surgery, which you see a lot of pitchers in baseball get. Miles Turner now has got a left foot injury, and it's going to be a couple of weeks before he's going to be reevaluated. And there's even talk that he will not return before the trade deadline. So that really affects his potential value. And if he gets moved, Draymond Green, he's got a little bit of a scary injury, I think, because he's got this calf injury, but it has to deal with a disc in his back. So he's going to be out a few more weeks. You have to see if that's something that lingers. And then obviously Kevin Durant's going to be out for a month, month and a half. He's got a strained MCL. So there's a lot of things that are up in the air with some pretty big name guys right now.
There are. And it's unfortunate. You hate to see this, especially because, you know, you just get through that period where COVID's affecting all the teams and you're missing them. But those are temporary things. Now you actually start to see the injuries and it's some of them lingering, some of them for, you know, a few weeks, some of them for a few months. You don't want to see that, especially. I mean, we're halfway through now. We're about halfway through the season. We're only a couple weeks away from it being February. Before we know it, the trade deadline will be here. And then before we know it, All-Star will be here. So you don't like seeing that. But hopefully these are guys that can, you know, get a little healthier in time for, you know, their stretch runs. Obviously, most of these players are on playoff teams. So you want to see them at full strength.
There's a couple of things that are like hidden in there, too, from a standpoint that, like, if Paul George cannot come back, I don't think we're going to see Kawhi Leonard. And I know.
No, I think the Clippers would punt it. I think the Clippers would punt it. They'd give time to Brandon Boston Jr. They'd give time to Amir Coffey, which they should, by the way, because those kids are really, showing some really solid play since they've been giving those bigger roles. You know, Ty is an excellent coach. He knows how to develop players.
And the Clippers are not tanking because their pick is owed to the Thunder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't want to.
They're not going to be, they're going to be tanking. You know, the Blazers, I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen there from a standpoint like, now you get CJ back, but Lillard's going to be out for a while. Like, I think they're going to be active when it comes to possibly, trading somebody, whether it's Nurkic or, somebody else around the fringes. You know, it could be like, Larry Nance Jr., Robert Covington, who always gets brought up in, trade rumors. But maybe CJ's talked about a little bit more when it comes to him. So, with Lillard's injury, I wonder if that affects how aggressive they're going to be. And same thing when it comes to Miles Turner. Like, what's his value now? Because, he had a foot injury last year. Got a foot injury this year. He's not going to be back probably before the trade deadline comes. So, what's his value? Like, what would the Pacers be willing to give up on him for?
And our friend Michael Scott over at Hoops Hype actually reported that the Pacers are looking for either two first round picks or a first round pick and a promising young player for Miles Turner. So, and there's a lot of suitors out there. And Alex Kennedy on basketballnews.com listed him. There's a ton of teams in this title. It's funny. I was laughing. Seeing how many teams were in the title, but the Mavs are one of those teams. The Celtics are one of those teams. There's a ton of interest around for a player who's really good. Blazers, Wolves, Knicks.
Do the Mavericks make
Lakers,
a lot of sense?
The Hornets.
See, to me, the Mavericks didn't make much sense when it came to Miles Turner, unless they got rid of Porzingis.
Yeah, right.
But when it comes to other teams, like, everybody wants to say, the Lakers will get him. Like, they'll package THT and none. You're like, okay, what's THT's value around the league?
Yeah.
I don't know. There might be some teams that still like, you get him out of there. And, I think he's still got a lot of potential and he's still super young. There's going to be other teams that go, I've seen enough.
Like, right.
I'm not putting a big value on him.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
I don't think he has much value. So anybody thinking like, the Lakers, they're going to make a big move. They're going to go out. They're going to get a Miles Turner or a Jeremy Grant. Like, keep dreaming there, suckers.
Jeremy Grant, that's going to be an interesting one because, according to a report, I believe it was also an Athletic reporter. It might have been the Detroit Free Press. I can't remember. But apparently Jeremy Grant is desiring to go to a team where he's going to be a first option or a featured option. And I'm looking around the league at teams that would go after Jeremy Grant. That ain't going to happen.
It's
not. He's going to be a guy to push a team over the edge.
Yeah.
But you ain't going to be, 30% usage guy like you are in Detroit.
He was such a good fit with the Nuggets. And he fit that role. And he decided to leave because he wanted to be a first option. And that's why he went to the Pistons.
And he made money. And, good on him because he played really well last year and he was playing okay this year. But the thing is, the Pistons, that was a gap year because they went out now and they have Cade Cunningham. And you see Cade Cunningham starting to come around as a rookie, and he's really starting to have the ball in his hands and making plays, playing defense and all that. And now Jeremy Grant's kind of been, I want to say relegated, because he's been on the sidelines. He's been hurt for, I don't know, a month or so, and he hasn't been playing. But he, wherever he goes, he's going to have to sacrifice. That's going to be the major thing, I think, with Jeremy Grant.
I think, and Grant, we talked
to realize, but he's going to have to.
When it comes to Grant, we've talked about his fit with the Bulls, and I think it would be excellent. And the other team that I think people have brought up where he'd be a great fit are the Grizzlies. And they have the assets to do it. But both of those teams would require him filling a role and not being a number one or even a number two option. He'd be more of a number two or closer to a two in Memphis, but not in Chicago.
Thinking Dylan Brooks or Kyle Anderson. I'm just trying to think of who they could move for. I wouldn't touch Memphis, just like I wouldn't touch Cleveland right now unless it was an edge move. But I do see what you're saying. You know, there's all kinds of ideas, I think, because he's just such a versatile player. He's such a, you know, seamless fit really anywhere he plays just because of his abilities, as we've seen in Denver. So I'm interested to see where he goes because, I mean, he has a bigger contract and, you know, a lot of these playoff teams don't have bigger contracts they can trade because they're too valuable to their run.
Right. Yeah, like a Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson move does work financially.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make basketball sense. I think the Bulls one makes a lot more sense.
The Bulls makes a ton of sense because Patrick Williams hasn't been around all year. They've been starting, they've had Javonte Green in there. They've had Derek Jones Jr. in there, who just went down with a knee injury as well. Like, they've not had that power forward position consistency at that power forward position, and that doesn't help a team that has championship aspirations. Now, if you look at the cap sheet and who they could possibly trade, their biggest salaries, you're not going to use those. You're not going to use DeMar, obviously, Nikola Vucevic, Zach LaVine, and Lonzo Ball. Those are all guys that are in that price range of what could get a Jeremy Grant. But could you put together Patrick Williams and Kobe White along with a Troy Brown or a Derrick Jones? Yeah, you can make that work, but would the Pistons repent? Would they accept that kind of return?
How many picks are you getting with that, and how much do you like Patrick Williams?
Exactly.
That's what it comes down to, yeah.
Personally, I love Patrick. I think he would be an excellent fit.
I think that's a trade.
And I think that having Kobe White would be awesome, too, for them.
Yeah, that's a deal that makes a lot of sense for both teams.
Oh, yeah, especially for where they are in the direction that they have.
Exactly. Like, Williams is a younger guy that you're going to build on. Grant's more of a now guy that would fit your system and plays well with everything that they're trying to do there. So,
maybe we cracked the code, huh?
I thought I cracked the code about Ben Simmons, but the hell if I know. I've been touting about the Kings forever. And by the way, speaking of the Kings, it sounds like they're being pretty proactive and going after big names. Doesn't mean they're going to get anybody, but like the report out of the Sacramento Bee is that, okay, Ben Simmons is option number one. We can't get him.
It's the race. It's the race between Brian and Spinny. It's the race to see who was right.
Yeah.
Okay. You can go back to a podcast back in July, baby. You can hear what I was saying about this.
So
saying it.
They're saying Ben Simmons is option number one and Domantas Sabonis is option number two. Now, I don't know if they're going to get either of them, but it sounds like the Kings are at least like feeling around and they're willing to trade De'Aaron Fox for Sabonis. Now, I don't know, would Indy want to do that and take on a guy that's just starting on a max deal? You know,
Fox and Brogdon is interesting. I will say that.
Yeah, it is.
That's an interesting comment.
So, by the way, just to remind everybody, because we do it almost every week here anyway, but we're going to do it again. We both have said Ben Simmons to Sacramento. I have said it's Haliburton and Hield plus a pick or two picks, whatever, but those are the players. And you've said what players?
De'Aaron Fox. That has always been it. De'Aaron Fox for Ben Simmons and draft capital. Like that's literally been my deal this whole time.
Let me throw this one out there, okay? Because this has been talked about. So there is some belief that maybe the Sixers would take a little bit less. Maybe they would sacrifice getting, you know, a really good player instead of like one of those top 20 players around the league in a Ben Simmons trade if said team would also take Tobias Harris. So if you're Sacramento, would you do that combo of Harris and Simmons at nearly $69 million? Would you be willing to do that to get Ben Simmons and what that's going to cost you player-wise?
Is Harrison and Barnes involved in that deal?
He could be. Either him or Buddy Hield's going to have to be.
He should be. He should be because Tobias and Harrison Barnes together on the same floor doesn't seem like a great fit.
Here we go. I've got one for you, okay? And I'm going to see if this works in just a second. Harrison Simmons at $69 million for Fox, Barnes, and Bagley. Now, Bagley makes 11.3, so together they combine for about $60 million, and that trade does, in fact, work.
Here we go. That time of year again.
That trade works. Bagley, Barnes, and Fox. Now, if you want to, you can take Barnes out and put in Heel.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Barnes, I mean, how many years have we been saying, like, hey, Sacramento, trade Harrison Barnes, maximize the value. Here we are again, you know, whether it's going to be this or not. But I mean, to me, he's a valuable guy around the league for his size and switching and all the different things he can do. It's kind of like Robert Covington as well, because Covington only makes, what, like $10, $11 million, I think. And his name always gets brought up in trades because he's not overpriced. He's just kind of a glue guy. He's a 3-and-D guy. And I think he's probably going to be moved by the Blazers. The right deal comes along. And I think he's going to have some suitors. I don't know if they're going to get a first-round pick for him, but they should at least get a couple of seconds. They should get a first-round pick, considering they gave up 2 first-round picks to get him.
Who's this?
The Blazers getting Covington.
Oh, Covington. Oh, yeah. Good call. Sorry, I didn't know if you said him or Larry, because I was looking at the sheet.
Well, Larry is somebody I think if you did a second-round pick, I think you could get him. And I still like Larry. I've been so disappointed because I think, like so many other people, we thought this is going to be a really good fit. And it has not been for whatever reason. So part of that being playing time, that always helps.
It hasn't been a great, you know, what's funny is even as bad as the Blazers have been, they're still in this picture because the West is actually the quote unquote down conference this year.
Hey, remember before the season, I stupidly said the Sacramento Kings would get into the play-in tournament.
Look at Minnie, Brian.
And I'm just saying that like, the Blazers with their injury problems, the Clippers with their injury problems. I'm not
look at the young
up
wolves.
On them yet.
Look at the young wolves, baby.
The Wolves are 7 and they're climbing out. Like the Nuggets, I mean, are in striking distance. And you know, and now the Mavericks are playing better, so I don't think they have to worry about sliding anymore. But yeah, the T-Wolves, I could see them getting as high as 6.
Yes. They could. They really could. It's all over the place, guys. Like, I implore you to open up your phones and look at the NBA standings for each conference and tell me that there's any separation whatsoever, just by record. Like, it's impossible. It's impossible.
There is between the Orlando Magic and a competent basketball team. What?
Oh, that's not nice.
I know. And I lived in Orlando for a long time.
How about the Wagners? Okay, look at Franz and Mo. They're doing work together.
And I like Cole Anthony too. I like him. I think
Cole's great.
Everybody wrote him off, you know, like, he's going to be
Jalen Suggs is back, you know, on him. I'm glad to see him back and healthy.
I want to see him next year. I want to see the development in the offseason and put on some more strength and let hopefully get a little bit more confidence back. But yeah.
No, it's almost a little reminiscent, you know, like Darius Garland's rookie season was horrific. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like that's the great part about player development that I love is just seeing the natural growth and maturing process. Very fun. Very fun to watch.
Yeah. By the way, watch the Rockets and let's see what they're going to do because they've got some assets. You know, Christian Wood, I think, is somebody that, even though they had the little argumentative problem not too long ago, could be a value. And then Eric Gordon, who's having one of his better years now, and I think he's, what, 32 years old, but he's playing well defensively.
He's 32, but he's with healthy. All those injuries, I feel like he's 36. Like, maybe at the same time. At the same time, though, he is playing great basketball.
He's hitting 40% of his threes.
Yeah, I'm not going to, you know, poo-poo on that. I just will say that contract is, you know, pretty hefty. Even though the third season, he's on a deal right now, but 2023-24 is not guaranteed. So
doesn't he fit with the Lakers being the old man team? Come on, add another old guy.
He does. He does. He actually does.
I'm not saying it's going to make him any better. It just seems like it's a fit.
Hmm. True.
You know, it, like, what are the Celtics going to do? The Celtics are part. I mean, how did we not break down this three-way deal that just happened with the Spurs and the Celtics and the Bucks? Hmm. You didn't want to spend a half hour breaking that trade down?
Not so much. Not no. so much. Quick little tip. Oh,
excuse me. It wasn't the Bucks. It was the Nuggets. Excuse me.
I was going to say. Your team's mixed up.
I am. I was so excited about it. I got ahead of myself.
Quick little tidbits. Just quick little tidbits. Charlotte playing hella good basketball right now. Shout out to Terry Rozier. I'm going to look this up right now as I'm talking because I don't know the exact numbers. But all I know is that dude has been scary again. He is looking like Gary Terry from last year again. Finally picking it up. He looks tremendous, man. He's scoring like crazy. Over his last 10 games, averaging 23, shooting 44% from deep on nearly 10 threes a game, 5 boards, 4 assists, and over a steal a game. So shout out to Scary Terry finding his footing once again. And the Hornets, once they're, you know, they've kind of been up and down just because, you know, obviously the defense isn't great, but you know, they're hanging in there, 24 and 20, you know, looking pretty solid. And have been playing better basketball of late.
They've won, you know, 7 of the last 10.
Yeah, they're looking better. And again, I just wanted to shout out Scary Terry. Great dude, great basketball player, really looking spry again. You know, he was dealing with those injuries and stuff, so it's good to see that again. You mentioned Dallas. Dallas, you know, they're in a little bit of a climb themselves. It's because of their defense and, you know, resident basketballnews.com film breakdown specialist Nikias Duncan just did an article on that this morning about their defense and how it's elite despite them not having an anchor. You know, they got guys like Jalen Brunson and Dorian Finney-Smith and, you know, guys like, you know, up and comer like a Josh Green that's a part of that. And of course KP holding it down there as a rim protector, but great stuff from Nikias there. I just wanted to shout out a couple of those teams. It's fun to see the guys that, you know, don't get too much love, get some love. You know, continuing to see Memphis and Cleveland climb despite anything that was thought about them, especially in the Cavs case before the season started. It's just fun, man. Memphis is literally in that conversation to potentially have the best record in the NBA right now. They're the third in the Western Conference, 31-15. Phoenix is obviously atop, the only team with single-digit losses, by the way. But it is a race here, and it is getting real fun. So I think on that note, we can wrap it up here on Keeping It 94. Once again, go to app.prizepicks.com, 100% instant deposit match up to $100. We gave you our picks. Hopefully I win this time. All I want to do is win one of these player props.
One time, Jamie. One time.
One time for the one time. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, anywhere you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe, rate, review. We are a part of the basketballnews.com podcast network. Got other great ones for you to listen to. The Dunker Spot with Nikias Duncan and Steve Jones Jr. drops every Tuesday and Friday. The Alex Kennedy Podcast with Alex Kennedy. the rematch with Etan Thomas, Dishes and Dimes with the ladies, and of course, Nothing But Bets, a daily gambling podcast hosted by Evan Sidery. Once again, please subscribe, rate, review, leave us a good note, please. Even if you don't mean it, it'll just make us look good. And we're just trying to grow this thing a little bit. I see you shaking your head.
Just
no,
a little.
We want artificial. We want artificial. We don't want natural. I'm kidding. If we suck, even just rate us or something like that. I don't care. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at Spin Davies. You can find him on Twitter at Brian Fritz. Find me on Instagram also at Spin Davies. You can find him on Instagram at It's Brian Fritz. Follow us. Leave comments there. We want to interact with you. We want to grow this thing. We're going to market it better in the year 2022. We're going to get this thing going. And last note, too. It's January in Berea. And the Cleveland Browns are already off to a terrible start. But NFL playoffs, guys, enjoy that. And yeah, we'll talk to you on the next episode and hope you have a good day. Stay warm, stay healthy, and we'll see you.